Wednesday, 10:15, 25. This is part 15 of How Faith Works. The title is Time to Put the Hammer Down. It never ceases to amaze me, the cleverness of the Lord and how he'll give me an idea. This morning I didn't have a clue. I said, what do you want me to bring today? Well, anyway, this is Jeremiah 23:9. Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? Hammer means to pound. Are you fed up with the devil pounding you, beating you into the ground? Well, it's time for you to put the hammer down. Okay, let's look at some other scriptures here. 1 Kings 19. This is verse 11 and 12. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. That's all it takes to let the hammer down. Proverbs 18:21, we all know this by the back of our hand. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. I thought it was in food. I thought it was in vaccines. I thought it was in working out every day, at least an hour. No. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. They that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. In other words, whatever fruit you produce from your mouth, you'll get death or life. Let's go to Luke. The Gospel of Luke. It's Luke 22. This is 31 and 32. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. What did he do? Peter sinned. He denied the Lord three times. And he was so broken up about it. But the Lord talked to him about it when he come back from the dead, rose again, and walked among them. Before he went back to heaven, he talked to him about it. Okay, let's go to Genesis 1. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. God never meant for the deep state to own everything. He never meant for the deep state to steal everything. He never meant for the deep state to kill everyone. Steal, kill, destroy. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them and God said to them, be fruitful, multiply. Not fall into abstract poverty. Not die of some horrible disease. Not be broken, penniless all your life and work by the sweat of your brow till you just die. No. Be fruitful. multiply, replenish the earth, and subdue it. And this wasn't from the sweat of his brow. This was from the words of his mouth. Subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. This is God's will for his man. Genesis 1, he patterned us like this. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light and said it was good. When we use our faith, just like Jesus prayed for Peter, when we use our faith, it pleases God. He's happy with us when we use our faith, because that's how he's created us. He's not happy when we don't. God didn't put all this on you to try to teach you something. That doesn't even line up with his word. God reversed the curse with his word. You can reverse your curse by using words. Danny's testimony of how he kept saying, I'm not going to get that job, I'm not going to get that job. When he didn't get the job, he's all upset and wondering, Lord, why didn't I get that job? And he said, well, you predicted it. You spoke it. You forecasted it. You got exactly what you said. And then you realized, oh, that scripture really does mean what it says, doesn't it? Okay. Well, let's go to Romans chapter 4. We're made in his likeness and image. That means all. This is about Abraham before the law. This is 4:16 and 17. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but of that which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I've made thee the father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. You know what? God didn't do anything unless he did it that way. So if you don't do it that way, you don't get anything either. Get a lot of disappointment. Okay, we're going to look at a few more scriptures. Psalms 29. This is a short, little, powerful word today. Starting with verse 3 there. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. He let the hammer down. He maketh them also to skip like a calf, Lebanon and Syrian like a young unicorn. The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The Lord shaketh the valley of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calf and discovereth the forest. And in his temple doth everyone speak of his glory. The voice of the Lord. It produces. All right, now let's go over to Hebrews. This is Hebrews 4.
Where?
Hebrews 4. Starting with verse 1 there. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Well, I can confess here today, I have come short of that rest. I felt like I was being beat into the ground. Pounded into the ground. So much so that I thought, am I going to make it? That's how pounded in the ground. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Well, there was my problem. I wasn't mixing it with faith. For we which have believed do enter into rest. When you believe and you let the hammer down, you get to enter into rest. As he said, as I've sworn in my wrath, they shall not enter into my wrath, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake at a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. If you're beat down and kicked about and pounded into the ground, you're not resting. You are in unbelief. You're letting the symptoms and what you're seeing and what you're experiencing dictate to you instead of God's word. Again, he limited the certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, and God, as God did from his. In other words, you kick faith in, and God goes to work, and you rest. You just keep pounding with the word. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You can't hide from God. He knows if you're in unbelief or you are in faith. He knows when you're at rest and when you are not. Job 6:25. You can't fool the Lord. This is Job 6:25. A little short, just partial. How forcible are right words? Forcible. Forcible means to be pugnant, vehement, and to irritate. Isn't it time for us to irritate the devil? Pound him into the ground. Oh, yeah. He deserves it. It's our turn, isn't it? It's time, like the Lord said, put off your sackcloth and ashes and get the hammer out. Put the hammer down. And on top of the devil's head. Okay. James 3. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation, for in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body. If we're saying the right forcible words, it changes the picture. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. You can use your tongue for good or for evil, death and life. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature and is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue no man can tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. This is a double-minded man. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth the fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a fig or a vine figs? So can no fountain yield both salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. For where envy and strife is, there's confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. So you got to walk peaceful. You can't be one that's a person that's of strife to do this, because we're of peace. The Lord's of peace. Go to James chapter 5, just a little bit here. Verse 13, it says here, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. The Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another. Pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again. And the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. I was thinking about a sad situation today where someone, they haven't directly, but prayed for several years on and off about this matter. But then I hear, here I am trying to use my faith and praying in the Spirit, and the husband of this woman is just talking her into the grave. Talking her into the grave. Well, this time next year she'll be in a wheelchair. I'm just going, no longer will I align myself with people like that. Either you get in agreement, whenever that you go to the elders and you have them pray, you're in agreement. Any two agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done to them of my Father which is in heaven. How come I'm praying in faith and they're talking their wife into the grave? No, I believe it needs to be qualified who we pray for. It says to lay hands suddenly on no man, which I haven't laid hands on this person, but it just, I was thinking so much about it this morning that I thought, the next time I'm asked to pray for this situation, I'm going to, as candidly as I can, and as kind as I can, say, well, it's not going to do any good if I'm praying one way and he's praying another. We're not gaining any ground here. So we have to watch it. That we don't, because isn't that zero production? That's double-mindedness. That's not helping anybody. But a lot of people don't know that. And they're not even putting themselves in a position to learn that. That's what's the sad part about this is. Okay, Matthew 18:19. And don't ask me about who, because I'm not going to say. Again, I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father, which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. We need to watch who we make agreements with. Because you know what? Over the years, knowing people, I've had a lot of people ask me to pray for them. Well, sure, you know, I'm going, I've gotten to where I'll say, well, when I go to prayer, I pray in the Spirit. And if your situation comes up, I will pray it through in the Spirit. That way, you don't obligate yourself to make an alliance with someone that's in unbelief. Father showed us how to do it and taught us to do it just like he did. And he sent Jesus and he demonstrated it for us when he was here. This is Mark 11. We're going to start with verse 11. And Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple, and when he had looked round about upon all the things, and now the eventide was come, he went out unto Bethany with the 12. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. Seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if happily he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. And when they come to Jerusalem, Jesus went to the temple, began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers, the seats of them that sold doves, and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught, saying unto them, it is written, my house shall be called of all nations a house of prayer, but you've made it a den of thieves. The scribes and chief priests heard it and sought that they might destroy him, for they heard because of all the people were astonished at his doctrine. And when evening was come, he went out into the city, and in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remember it, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. Jesus answered and said unto him, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when you pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. So Jesus put it right there in demonstration right before them. Okay, a few more scriptures. 1 Timothy chapter 6. This is 12 and 13 here. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession. Jesus didn't go to pieces, no. Really, he didn't really open his mouth. He didn't say much of anything. He told his disciples that a hard thing was coming and he wouldn't be speaking with them much because the princes of this world had no place in him. If we don't want the devil to be in us, have a place in us, we've got to watch our mouths. That's the truth. Hebrews. This is Hebrews 3, verse 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, which means confession, Christ Jesus. Hebrews 4:14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. He's agreeing with us. A couple more, or one more. This is Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. All right, hammers up. Start pounding.